This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam. Ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hallul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. My respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on all of you. It's a pleasure for me to be back once again in Perlis for the second Perlis International Sunnah Convention. The first was held last year in January. And the theme of this convention, of this year's convention, is Al-Quran, the Divine Guidance. And the topic of my talk is Al-Quran, the last and final revelation from God. Al-Quran is the last and final revelation which was revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It's mentioned in the glorious Quran, in Surah Fatir, chapter number 35, verse number 24. وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَافِيَ النَّزِيرِ. There is not a nation or a tribe to whom we have not sent a warner. It's mentioned in Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13, verse number 7. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. In every nation have we sent a guide. By name, there are 25 messengers mentioned in the glorious Quran. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them all. By name, 25 messengers have been mentioned in the glorious Quran. And if you read the hadith of the Prophet, it's mentioned in Mishkat al-Masabi, that there were 124,000 messengers sent on the face of the earth. But by name, only 25 are mentioned in the Quran. All the messengers that came before the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they were meant only for a particular group of people. And the message which they brought, the revelation that came, was only meant for a particular time period. But because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the last and final messenger, he was not sent only for the Muslims or the Arabs, he was sent for the whole of humanity. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have sent thee not but as a mercy to all the worlds, as a mercy to all the nations, as a mercy to the whole of humanity. Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the last and final messenger, he was not sent only for the Muslims or for the Arabs, but for the whole of humanity. And Allah says in Surah Sabah, chapter number 34, verse number 28, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, that we have sent thee not but as a universal messenger, giving glad tidings and warning them against sin, but most of the human beings yet do not know. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13, verse number 38. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. In every age have we sent a revelation. In every age Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a book. By name, only four are mentioned in the Quran. Torah, Zabur, Injil, and the Quran. Torah was the wahi, the revelation, which was revealed to Moses, peace be upon him. Zabur was the wahi, the revelation which was revealed to David, Dawud alayhi salam, peace be upon him. And Injil was the revelation, the wahi, which was revealed to Jesus, peace be upon him. And the glorious Quran is the last and final revelation which was revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. All the revelations that came, four are mentioned by name, but there are many others. For example, Sufa Ibrahim, etc. But all the revelation that came before the last and final revelation, they were meant for a particular group of people. And the message was supposed to be followed for a particular time period. It wasn't eternity. But because the glorious Quran is the last and final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the last and final messenger Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it was revealed for the whole of humanity. Allah says in Surah Ibrahim chapter number 14 verse number 1, Alif Lam Ra, this is the revelation revealed to thee, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so that he may guide humankind from darkness to light. It's mentioned in Surah Ibrahim chapter number 14 verse number 52, here is a message for mankind. Let them take warning therefrom. Let them know there is one God. Let the men of understanding take heed. It's mentioned in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 185. Ramadan is the month in which the glorious Quran was revealed as a guide to humanity, as a criteria for humankind to judge right from wrong. It's mentioned in Surah Zumur chapter number 39 verse number 41. That we have revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Quran, so that he may instruct the humankind, not only the Muslims, the Arabs, but the whole of humankind. So the glorious Quran, because it is the last and final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the last and final messenger Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it was not revealed only for the Muslims or the Arabs. It is revealed for the whole of humanity. The glorious Quran is a proclamation to humanity. It is the most positive book in the world. It's a fountain of mercy and wisdom. It's a guide to the erring. It's a warning to the heedless. It's an assurance to those in doubt. It's a solace to the suffering and a hope to those in despair. Whenever you have an equipment, normally along with the equipment, you get an instruction manual. And more complicated the equipment, the more requirement of an instruction manual. For example, if you buy a DVD player, it says if you want to play the DVD, insert the DVD and press the play button. If you want to stop, press the stop button. Don't immerse it in water, it will get spoiled. Don't drop it from a height, it will get damaged. The do's and don'ts of that equipment, that machine, is mentioned in an instruction manual. If you allow me to call a human being a machine or equipment, you'll have to agree that the human being is the most complicated machine on the face of this earth. Don't you think it requires an instruction manual? The instruction manual for the human beings, it is a glorious Quran. The do's and don'ts for a human being is mentioned in the last and final revelation, the glorious Quran. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Mulk, chapter number 67, verse number 2, Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata. It's Allah who has created death and life to test which of you is good in deeds. So this life that we are leading in this world, according to the last and final revelation, is a test. We human beings, Allah our creator says in the Quran, the last and final revelation, that this life is a test. Allah has created death and life to test which of you is good in deeds. What is the purpose of our lives? Why are we here? What are we doing? Have we thought about it? Have we thought about it? What are we doing in this world? What is the purpose of our life? Allah says in Surah Dhariyat, chapter number 51, verse number 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That we have created the jinn and the men not but to worship me. So the main purpose of the human beings, according to our creator, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabic word used in the Quran is abd. The word ibadah is used coming from the Arabic word abd, which means a slave. When we follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means we are doing ibadah. If we are doing the things which he has said is compulsory, we are doing ibadah. If we are abstaining from things which is haram and prohibited, we are doing ibadah. So when we follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we pray, we are doing ibadah. When we give zakat, we are doing ibadah. When we fast, we are doing ibadah. When we don't have alcohol, we are doing ibadah. When we don't gamble, we are doing ibadah. When we don't tell lies, we are doing ibadah. So ibadah means following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the cornerstone of the Islamic faith and of the Quran is Tawheed. The concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And regarding the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best reply that any Muslim can give you, the shortest and the best and the most concise definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given in the glorious Quran by Allah himself in Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 1 to 4, where Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say he is Allah one and only. Allah Samad. Allah the absolute and eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There's nothing like him. This is a four-line definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given in the glorious Quran. Any person says so and so candidate is God, and if that candidate fits in this four-line definition, we Muslims have no objection in accepting that candidate as God. First is, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say is Allah one and only. Second is, اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ. Allah, the absolute and eternal. Third is, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He begets not, nor is he begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفَّانْ أَحَدْ. And the fourth is the most stringent. There is nothing like him. The moment you can compare God to anything in this world, he is not God. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفَّانْ أَحَدْ. This Surah Ikhlas is the touchstone of theology. Theo means God, logi means study, theology means study of God. Touchstone, as many of you may be aware, that if you want to buy or sell jewelry, gold jewelry, and you want to know how pure is the gold, so you take it to a goldsmith, he takes this touchstone and he rubs the jewelry against the touchstone and observes the color and tells you that this is 24 karat gold. Or he may tell you it is 22 karat gold. Or he may say it is 18 karat gold. Or he may say it is not gold at all, because everything that glitters is not gold. So Surah Ikhlas is the touchstone of theology. If any human being says that so and so person is God, or so and so candidate is God, if it fits in the definition of Surah Ikhlas, we Muslims have no objection in accepting that candidate as God. Let me give an example that there are some human beings who consider Bhagwan Rajneesh to be God. You may have heard the name of Bhagwan Rajneesh. He was very famous. He was from India, from the country where I come. So there are some human beings who think he's God. So let us put this Bhagwan Rajneesh to the test of Surah Ikhlas. The first is, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say is Allah one and only. Was Bhagwan Rajneesh the only man who claimed divinity? We have thousands of them, and many from the country where I come, India. He's not the only one. The second test, اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ. Allah, the absolute and eternal. Was Rajneesh absolute and eternal? When we read his autobiography, we come to know he was suffering from asthma, from diabetes mellitus, from chronic backache. Imagine Almighty God suffering from asthma, from diabetes mellitus, from chronic backache. Third test, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. We know from his biography that Rajneesh had a mother and a father. He was born in Jabalpur, Madhya Pradesh. And later on, in 1981, he goes to America. And in a village by the name of Oregon, he starts his own village called as Rajneeshpuram. And he takes thousands of Americans for a ride. Later on, the American government arrests him and puts him behind bars. Rajneesh claims that the American government gave me slow poisoning. Imagine Almighty God being slow poisoned. In 1985, they kick Rajneesh out of the country, US, and he comes back to India, and in the state of Maharashtra, in the city of Pune, he starts his new center there, Osho Commune. And if you go there, it is mentioned on his Samadhi. Samadhi is when the Hindus, when they burn, when they cremate the body, the ashes are kept there, and on the stone it's mentioned, Osho, the Rajneesh, never born, never died, but visited the earth from the 11th of December 1931 to the 19th of January 1990. Never born, never died, but visited the earth from the 11th of December 1931 to the 19th of January 1990. They forgot to mention on the Samadhi, he was not given visas to 21 different countries of the world. Imagine Almighty God coming in this world to visit the world and he requires visas. And the Archbishop of Greece said, if you don't remove Rajneesh from this country, we will burn his house and the house of his disciple. And the last test, Vallam yakullahu kuffan ad, there's nothing like him, is so stringent that no one besides Allah can pass. The moment you can compare Allah to anyone in this world, he is not God. Vallam yakullahu kuffan ad. If someone comes and tells me that, you know, Almighty God is 1,000 times stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. You might have heard the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he got the title Mr. Universe, Mr. World. Supposed to be the strongest man in the world, in the universe. If someone says Almighty God is 1,000 times stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger, the moment you can compare Allah to anyone in this world, whether it be Arnold Schwarzenegger, whether it be Dara Singh, whether it be King Kong, whether it be 1,000 times, whether it be 1,000,000 times, the moment you can compare anyone to Almighty God, he is not God. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوَانَاتِ. There's nothing like him. This is the four-line definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given in the glorious Quran, which is the cornerstone of the Quran, which is the cornerstone of Islam. And alhamdulillah, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 64, قُلْ يَهِلَ الْكِتَابِ, say, O people of the book, تَعَالَوْ إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah, na'budu illallah, that we worship none but Allah. This verse of the Quran, Surah Imran chapter 3, verse number 64, according to me, is the master key for da'wah. When you want to talk to any non-Muslim regarding Islam, Allah says, come to common terms as between us and you. Amongst all the common terms, the most important is Allah, na'budu illallah, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا, that we associate to partner with him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْدُنَا بَعْدًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دِنِ اللَّهِ, that we erect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, if then they turn back. فَقُلُوا شَدُّوا, say, bear witness, بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the master key for da'wah. When you want to talk about Islam to a non-Muslim, تَعَلَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, come to common terms as between us and you. You can start with anything. You can talk about science, you can talk about literature, but until you do not talk about Tawheed, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your da'wah is useless. You may convince him not to have alcohol, not to have pork, not to cheat, but if you do not remove the shirk from his life, your da'wah is useless. And I've given a separate talk on this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the major religions, Tawheed is mentioned in the scripture. Even though the scriptures have been changed, in the changed form, the true concept of Allah is there. So when you get this, you compare with the Quran and tell your non-Muslim friends to believe in the true God. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse number 48, and in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse number 116, that if Allah pleases, He may forgive any sin, but He'll never forgive the sin of shirk, of associating partners with God, or joining other gods with God. Shirk is the biggest sin in Islam. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the biggest sin in Islam. And if a person dies as a mushrik without asking for forgiveness, he will never enter Jannah. Other sins, if Allah pleases, He may forgive. But the sin, if you die as a mushrik without coming back to the true path, Allah will never forgive you. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Hajj, chapter number 22, verse number 73, that all those who you worship besides Allah, if you gather all of them to create a fly, you will not be able to do it. And Allah continues, and if the fly snatches away something, you can't even get it back. So all those who you worship, idols and all the other false gods, if all of them got together to create a fly, they will not be able to do it. And Allah continues, if the fly snatches away something, you can't even get it back. Feeble are those who petition, and feeble are those who you petition. Therefore, shirk is the biggest sin in Islam. And that Tawheed is the cornerstone of Islam, the first pillar of Islam. It's mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kabut, chapter number 29, verse number 45. Utlu ma uya ilayka al-kitab wa aqimus salat. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Recite of what we have revealed to thee by inspiration, and establish prayers, salah. For verily salah, prayers, restrains you from shameful and unjust deeds. The second pillar of Islam mentioned in the last and final revelation, Quran, is salah. That establish salah, it restrains you from shameful and unjust deed. There's a talk I've given, Salah, the Programming Towards Righteousness. It's a 1.5 hour talk, which gives details from the Quran and the Sahih Hadith. That how does salah program you towards righteousness and keeps you on the straight path. The third pillar of Islam, it is zakat. Every rich Muslim who has a saving of more than the nisab level, 85 grams of gold, he or she should give 2.5% of that saving every lunar year in charity. It's called zakat. If every rich human being in the world gives zakat, poverty will be eradicated from this world. There will not be a single human being who will die of hunger. And the categories to whom you can give zakat is mentioned in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 60. There are 8 categories. The first is fuqara, a poor person who has a saving of more than the nisab level. Who has a saving of less than the nisab level, less than 85 grams of gold. Number 2 is masakin, a needy person. Number 3 is amilun, a person who collects the zakat, you can give a salary from that. Number 4 is muallafatul qulub, those whose hearts are coming towards Islam. Use zakat money. If you know a person will accept Islam, if you influence him, you can use it. The category is muallafatul qulub, those whose hearts are coming to Islam. Number 5, gharimun, a person who's a debtor. Number 6, rakab, freeing of slaves. Number 7, jihad fi sabilillah, striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And 10th is Ibn Sabil, a wayfarer, a traveler. These are the 8 categories mentioned in the Quran to whom you can give zakat. The 4th pillar of Islam, mentioned in the last and final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is Sawm, that is fasting. Every adult Muslim who is healthy, he should fast in the month of Salah and who's not traveling. Fast in the month of Ramadan from dawn till sunset. He should abstain from food, drink, and sex from dawn till the sunset. And Allah says in the Quran in Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verse 183, that Ramadan was, that fasting has been prescribed to you as it was prescribed to people who came before you, so that you may learn self-restraint. The main reason of fasting is to increase your taqwa, to increase your God consciousness, to increase your piety. Today, the psychologists, they tell us that if you can control your hunger, you can control almost all your desires. So we are being trained. I call fasting, I call Ramadan as the annual overhauling. Like, you know, if you allow me to call the human being the machine, it requires servicing. So Ramadan is 1 month servicing every year, you know, to let the machine come to the top level. We increase our taqwa, we increase our God consciousness, we increase our piety. And I've given a separate talk on this, Ramadan, a date with Dr. Zakir. It has got 64 episodes. All details of how Ramadan is beneficial for us. And the 5th pillar of Islam is Hajj. Every adult Muslim who has the health and the means to perform Hajj, that is pilgrimage to the holy city of Makkah, Mina, Arafat, in the month of Hajj, during the dates, compulsory at least once in his lifetime. Hajj is the biggest annual gathering in the world, where about 4 million people gather in Makkah, Mina, Arafat. 4 million people from different parts of the world, from USA, from Canada, from UK, from Saudi Arabia, from India, from Pakistan, from Malaysia, from Indonesia. The men are dressed up in 2 pieces of unsewn white cloth. On the command of Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, here we are, O my Lord, here we are. It is the biggest annual gathering in the world. You cannot make out the person next to you whether he's a king or a pauper. All of them, 2 pieces of unsewn white cloth. It increases the brotherhood. And when we read the last and final revelation of the glorious Quran, when I say, this life is a test for the hereafter. What are the guidelines of this test? If you read Surah Al-Asr, chapter number 103, it is called as Rahe Nijat, the path to salvation, the path to Jannah. It says in Surah Al-Asr, chapter number 103, verse number 1-3, Wal Asr. By the token of time, Allah is taking the oath of time. Innal insana fi khusr. Verily, man is in a state of loss. Illa alladhina amanu. Except those who have faith. Amilu salihati. Those who have righteous deed. Watawasaw bil haq. Those who invite people to truth, do dawah. Watawasaw bil sabr. Those who invite people to patience and perseverance. So, according to Surah Al-Asr, man is in khasara. Every human being will go to hell. Except those who have these 4 criteria. Number 1, Iman. Number 2, Amal Salihat, righteous deed. Number 1, faith. Number 2, Amal Salihat, righteous deed. Number 3, Watawasaw bil haq, inviting people to truth, doing da'wah. Watawasaw bil sabr, inviting people to patience and perseverance. If any one of these 4 criteria is missing, you shall not enter Jannah. You may be a very good Muslim. You may be praying 5 times a day. You may be fasting in the month of Ramadan. You may have gone for Hajj. You may have the mark on your forehead. But if you don't do Dawah, according to Surah Al-Asr, you shall not enter Jannah. If Allah wants to forgive you and put you in Jannah, that's Allah's prerogative. But in normal circumstances, all four are equally important. Not only Dawah, Iman, righteous deed, watawasaw bil haq, inviting people to truth, and inviting people to patience and perseverance, all four are equally important. According to Imam Shafi, may Allah have mercy on him, he said that if Surah Al-Asr alone was revealed for humanity, it would have been sufficient for guidance. Imagine, the great Imam, if Surah Al-Asr was revealed alone, not the full Quran, only Surah Al-Asr, 3 verses. It is the second shortest surah in the Quran. If this was revealed alone, it would have been sufficient for hidayah, for guidance for humanity. There was a person, a Jewish beggar, at the time of Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani. And we know from the books of history that Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he was a judge and he was quite affluent and rich. So this poor Jewish man goes and asks him that, I heard that your prophet said that this dunya, this world, for the believers is a prison and for the unbelievers it is paradise. How can you justify, I am a beggar, my clothes are torn, you are such a rich man, you are a Muslim, I am a non-Muslim, how can this world be a paradise for me and a prison for you? Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he replied, and the hadith that the Jewish beggar quoted is from Sahih Muslim, volume number 7, hadith number 7417. And Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, may Allah have mercy on him, he said that the Muslim knows that in the next life, he's going to get Jannah. And if he knows what Jannah is, in this world, even if you're the richest man, this life is like prison compared to the next life. Even if you're the richest man, even if you're the king, if you know what is awaiting you for Jannah, this world is nothing, not even 0.0001% compared to Akhirah. That's the reason those who truly know Islam, what they want to go to Jannah fast. They are not afraid of death. They aren't afraid of death, why? If a human being is on the straight path of Sirat al-Mustaqeen, of Surah al-Asr, if he dies, he goes to Jannah. So who would not like to hasten to die? You cannot kill yourself. It's haram. Suicide is haram. But of course, in the way of Allah, if you're on the haq, you're not afraid. You aren't afraid of anyone if you're on the haq. A true Muslim, if he's on the haq, he's not afraid of death. Because if he dies, he goes to paradise. Even if he's the richest man in the world, even if he's 10 times richer than Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and Jeff Bezos, all, nothing. And as far as the non-Muslims are concerned, if the non-Muslim knows what is awaiting from them in Akhirah, that they're going to go to hell. And a prophet said, the least fire, the least pain, if it reaches your soul, your brain would boil. So if the non-Muslims know what is awaiting for them in the next life, even if they're the most poorest man in the world, they will think they're in Jannah. Correct? Because if they know what's going to happen there, you're a little bit hot. You know, we want air condition, we want this. We cannot stay without it. There, the least punishment, if the fire touches your soul, your brain would boil. Imagine. So even the worst human being, who's a non-Muslim, would consider this as paradise. So this is the explanation of the hadith of the Prophet of Sahih Muslim, volume number 7, hadith number 7417. The glorious Quran, the last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has the solutions for the problem of humanity. If it is a revelation and last and final, and after that no other revelation will come, one of the requirements is it should have the solution for the problems of humankind. And the glorious Quran, it is the solution for the problems of humankind. It is the Furqan. It is the criteria to judge right from wrong. The glorious Quran has the solution for racism. Allah says in Surah Hujurat, chapter number 49, verse number 13, Ya ayyuha an-nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna lakum inna qamukum min dallahi atqakum. Inna Allah alimun khabir. O humankind, we have created you from a single pair of male and female, and have divided you into nations and tribes, so that you shall recognize each other, not that you shall despise each other. And the most honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the person who has taqwa. The criteria for judgment in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not color, it's not age, it's not wealth, it's not sex, it's not race, it is taqwa, it's God consciousness, it's piety. So Islam has the solution for racism. Islam has the solution of terrorism. One verse of the Quran is sufficient to prove that Islam is against terrorism and has the solution for terrorism. Allah says in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 32, if anyone kills a human being, unless it be for murder or for spreading corruption in the land, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. Allah says, if any human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, kills any other human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, unless it be for murder or for spreading corruption, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. And the verse continues, if anyone saves any other human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, it is as though he has saved the whole of humanity. So this one verse of the Quran is sufficient to solve the problem of terrorism. Quran has the solution for inequality, for injustice. Allah says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 135, that Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you believe, stand out for justice as witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it be against yourself, against your relatives, against your mother or father, against your parents, whether they be rich or poor, Allah protects all. So when you are giving witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective whether the witness will go against yourself, against your parents, against your relatives, the rich or the poor, Allah protects all. Quran has the solution for alcoholism and drug addiction. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 90, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maisiru. O you believe, most certainly intoxicated and gambling, wal anzabu wal azlamu, dedication of stones, divination of arrows, rishtum minamali shaitan. These are Satan's handiwork. Fashtanibul al-gutufliun. Abstain from this handiwork that you may prosper. So the solution for alcoholism is, it is prohibited, it's haram. Quran has the solution for prostitution, for adultery, for fornication. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 32, come not close to adultery, to zina, it is an evil opening other roads to evil. Quran has the solution for obscenity, for shamelessness. The hijab is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 30 and 31. First, Allah talks about the hijab for the man, then of the woman. Allah says in Surah Nur, chapter 24, verse number 30, say to the believing man that he should lower his gaze and guard his modesty. Whenever a man looks at a woman, and if any brazen thought, any unrestrained thought comes, he should lower his gaze. The next verse talks about the hijab for the woman. Say to the believing woman that she should lower her gaze and guard her modesty, and display not her beauty except what appears ordinarily off, except in front of her husband, her father, her son, and a big list of mahram is given. And there are six basic criteria for hijab. The first is the extent which differs between the man and the woman. For the man, from the navel to the knee. For the woman, the complete body should be covered. The only part that can be seen are the face and the hands up to the wrist. Some scholars say even this should be covered. The remaining five criteria are the same. That the clothes they wear should not be tight fitting so that it reveals the figure. Third, it should not be transparent or translucent so that you can see through. Number four, it should not be glamorous so that it attracts the opposite sex. Number five, it should not resemble that of the other religions. And number six, it should not resemble that of the opposite sex. You know, today, the Western world, talking about women liberalization, it is nothing but a disguised form of degrading the woman, of exploitation of a body, degradation of a soul. In the name of art and culture, they are degrading our mothers, our sisters. Quran has the solution for the economic problem. Today, one of the major cause of economic problem is riba, is interest. And Allah says, uses the word riba in no less than 8 places. And Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse 278 and 279, that those who give up not the demands of riba, of interest, take notice of Allah from Allah and His Rasul. Means if you involve in riba, in interest, Allah and His Rasul will wage a war against you. Drinking alcohol is a major sin. But no verse says that Allah and His Rasul will wage a war against you. But Allah says if you involve in riba, besides being a major sin, Allah and His Rasul will wage a war against you. So the solution for the economic problem of the world is abstain from riba, abstain from interest. Quran has the solution of corruption. Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse 188 that use not your wealth as bait to judges in order to eat other people's wealth. So bribing is prohibited in Islam. Quran has the solution for the political problems, for the psychological problem, for the social problems, for the economic problems of the world. Quran has the solution for your personal problems, for the problems of your family, for the problems of your society, for the problem of your country, for the problem of the whole world. For any book to claim that it is the last and final revelation of God, it should pass the test of time. Previously was the age of miracles. And alhamdulillah, the glorious Quran is the miracle of miracles. Then came the age of science and technology. Then came the age of literature and poetry. And Quran, alhamdulillah, is the best Arabic literature available on the face of the earth. And yes, I have 1 minute, I'm aware of it. I'm keeping the time better than them. Then, but today is not the age of literature and poetry. Today is the age of science and technology. So, if you analyze, if you compare science with any other religious book, all the religious books fail the test except the Quran. Quran passes the test of science also. And this, inshallah, I'll be covering my talk tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Quran and modern science, compatible or incompatible. And inshallah, today at 3 o'clock, there'll be a separate session only for question and answer session with me. At 3 o'clock, I'd like to end my talk with the verse of the glorious Quran in Surah Al-Asr, Surah Isra, chapter 17, verse number 81, which says, وَقُلْ جَاءَ لَقْوَذَاكَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلِ كَانَ زَوْكَ. When truth is hurled in falsehood, falsehood perishes. For falsehood, it's by its nature bound to perish. وَآخَرُ دَوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.